The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. When the days were completed for their purification according to the law of Moses, Mary and Joseph took Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, just as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that opens the womb shall be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer sacrifice of, to offer in sacrifice a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons, in accordance with the dictates of the law of the Lord. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. He was righteous and devout, awaiting the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Christ of the Lord. He came in the Spirit to the temple. When the parents brought the child Jesus to perform the custom of the law in regard to him, he took Jesus into his arms and blessed God, saying, "Now, Master, you may let your servant go in peace according to your word. My own eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all peoples, a light for the revelation of the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel." The child's father and mother were amazed at what was said about him, and Simeon blessed them, Mary, and said to Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and the rise of many in Israel, and to be a sign that would be contradicted, and you yourself a sword will pierce, so that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." The Gospel of the Lord. Feast of the Presentation today, and it was 40 days after Christmas and so on that law indicated that a child should be presented in the temple. Every firstborn male, if you will, would be presented in the temple. And so, in accord with this law, Joseph and Mary go to the temple and present Jesus. Now, to understand the significance of this moment theologically, let me give you a quick history. In 587 B.C., the Babylonians laid siege to Jerusalem and destroyed the city and the temple. And the people who did survive that war were brought into exile to live in Babylon, modern-day Iraq. And eventually they were allowed, 80 years later, the Iranians, the Persians namely, invaded Iraq, and the Persian leader allowed, Cyrus allowed the people to return to Jerusalem, where they rebuilt the city and the temple. However, there was a big problem. The Ark of the Covenant was gone, was missing. Nobody really knew what happened to the Ark. Now, what was the Ark? The Ark was a box about this long, and, you know, about that big. And inside the Ark were the tables of the law and the file of the manna and the staff or the rod of Aaron. But even more importantly, in this box called the Ark of the Covenant dwelt the very presence of God in Israel. It was kind of like the tabernacle is for us today. Now, the Ark had been lost. Some of the scriptures indicate that Jeremiah hid it in the mountains. Others indicate that it was, you know, hidden somewhere else, but no one knew and no one could decide where was the Ark. So they rebuilt the temple, but there was no Ark in the Holy of Holies, the presence of God. Elijah had seen the presence of God lift up off the temple and go to the east just before the Babylonians invaded. So you got a temple with a Holy of Holies in an empty room. It'd be like having a church out here without a tabernacle. And everything was set up, but no Ark. No, quote, presence of God. You can't find, where's the Ark? When would the Ark return? When would God's presence return to the temple? When? Someone describes, and the Pharisees tried to indicate some sort of spiritual presence, but they all knew they wanted to find the Ark. Well, now, 500 and some years later, the Ark returns. Mary is the Ark. She's the one who's holding the presence of God in her arms. And Jesus, the very presence of God, returns to his temple. Behold. You see the moment? You see how weighty and significant this moment? You would think that if you were to be a Hollywood producer, you would arrange for trumpets and angels and festival gatherings, and everyone would be celebrating, right? But only an old man and an old woman, it says here that Simeon and Anna were the only ones to notice. Notice this. Everyone else went about their business and no one else noticed. And even Joseph and Mary were a bit surprised at the things that were said by Simeon. A very subtle moment, but God returned to his temple. The presence of God with us. So that's today what we celebrate, that Jesus, the eternal Son of God, returns and brings God's presence back to the temple. Now, well, this is all very interesting. We had a nice little Bible study lesson, and if I were to end here, you might say, well, that's great. What do I take with me except some interesting historical fact? And I would simply ask you to ponder this, that one of our struggles is to be able to see the presence of God in our life, who comes to us sometimes in hidden and subtle ways, and he is there, but we don't notice. We're like all these people in the temple who are going about. Here, all of a sudden, the very presence of God has returned. However, he's not recognizable because it's in a very small and insignificant way. And let's be honest, let's take a look at Joseph and Mary from the perspective of a typical dweller in Jerusalem. Joseph and Mary were hicks. They lived up in the hick country. They had a hick accent because the people in Galilee had a funny way of talking. And people in Jerusalem looked down their nose at people from Galilee. They were working class poor. I mean, they weren't just destitute poverty, but they were working class poor, ordinary folks who came from the rural regions of Galilee, speaking in a funny accent, and no one would have ever dreamed that they were carrying the presence of God in their arms. People just went about. It would never even occur, even if someone had said, look, there's the presence of God. Ah, yeah, right. Bunch of peasants from the north. See? And you see what I'm saying is that it's sometimes hard for us to experience that God could be present to us in ordinary people. People we would never expect to manifest the presence of God. I mean, if God can speak through a donkey, as he did in the case of Balaam, I mean, couldn't he even speak through our enemy? we just need to sometimes be aware to listen for the voice of God in very strange and unusual circumstances and places. And what happens is that we are fooled by the ordinary. And we don't see the extraordinary. And so I just offer that to you today, that the Lord may present himself to you today in an unusual way. Clearly he will be present to us here in this Eucharist. But it looks like ordinary bread, ordinary wine, but it is not. But he may also present himself to you today in your boss who drives you crazy. He may present himself to you today in just someone who's walking by you in the Safeway. You see. I mean, again, just try to be aware and see how weak our minds are. How difficult it is for us to grab hold of this. And God, why don't you show your face, we sometimes say. I feel distant from you. I can't hear your voice. And God says, I've been talking to you all day long. So, well, I leave that thought with you on the Feast of the Presentation. It is something for us to ponder, how we can be more aware of the way that God is present to us all through our day. Amen.